This is HMM correspondent Erica Diggs, and today I am speaking with Charisma Whittaker. She is a social worker who has been working in the human service field and healthcare field for 8 years since graduating as an alumni of Winston-Salem State University back in 2014. Please give a warm welcome to Ms. Whittaker. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Erica. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming here and being a part of us.
Of course. My pleasure.
So what made you want to become a social worker?
I would say that I've always had a passion for wanting to help people. Since I was like very young, I've always been this person to like inspire and encourage people and just give them like encouraging words or into them. And I grew up with my grandmother in the South. So watching an elderly person and just, you know, being young and growing up with them. And as she became older, life started to change and I had to care for her. I started to have more of a passion for wanting to help people. And I was, this has to be my field to go into. At first, I thought it was going to be nursing and I actually tried that and I went all the way through and it didn't work. Yeah, because my passion was for helping people in the social work field. I geared away from that and here I am, a social worker. So I always knew it was there.
Okay. And how has becoming a social worker changed your life?
I would say that it changed my life because it's helped me to dig a little deeper into myself and really walk in my own truth and get to know me and not be afraid to work on my own healing and my own healing journey and go through that and know that my journey is my journey. So I would say that being a social worker has really helped me to basically look more into myself and become the best version of me that I can become.
How did you end up becoming your grandmother's caretaker? Going back to that.
So, I mean, growing up, it was me, my grandmother, my grandfather, and my aunt. When I was very young, I want to say between the ages maybe 5-7, my grandfather passed away due to cancer. So I watched her like take care of him. And then my aunt moved down from New York, my grandmother's daughter. And then around like Thanksgiving time, I want to say it was like 2002, she ended up passing away. I want to say from like a heart attack. We were like out of town and it like tripped or something out the door, something like that. She was like headed to work and she passed away. So then that left me and my grandmother. So as time went on, you know, my grandmother was very old anyway when she like took me in. So she became ill. She had ended up having multiple myeloma, which is bone cancer. So she ended up just having to go like take a lot of medications and stuff like that. And I watched her go in and out the hospital, having like many strokes and like declining. But she was very, I will say she was a very strong person. And that right there just left me and her. Her kids were in New York and it was just me and my grandmother at the time. We did have family in North Carolina, but just living with someone and being so young and having to just watch them decline like that and just care for them. So yeah.
And what was that experience like?
I think in the moment, honestly and truthfully, I was kind of in denial that she was like sick because she's like my best friend. Like she raised me. So she ended up passing my senior year of high school before I even walked the stage. So it was a lot of emotions around, and you probably can like hear it in my voice, a lot of emotions around not having her see me, watch me physically like accomplish my dreams. I graduated from high school, graduated from college twice, and then being in my career. So it was very emotional. Once she passed away, I ended up going right to school. So it was like no time to really think about or grieve my grandmother. And it was really tough. It was very emotional. I think it's not until now that I'm able to really grieve and process the loss of my grandmother, which is 10 years later.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. You know, I lost, especially at a young age like that. I can only imagine what that could do to someone.
Yeah.
How do you service a reluctant client?
I usually like to say that I like to just listen to them. And depending on the reason, maybe what brought them to get help, whether it was involuntarily or voluntarily, I just try to meet the client where they are. I try to find some type of common ground. I usually don't push up on clients and force them to do anything because this is your journey. You're the expert in your life. So when you're ready to, you know, work on you and heal, then, you know, that's my goal to kind of assist you in doing that. I don't force. I just be my authentic self, be bubbly, just have a conversation, allow them to get to know me. Because oftentimes, you know, if you were forced to go to counseling, you're not going to want to participate. So mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you don't want to be here. So let me just try to figure out, you know, what brought you here? What even made you come? And just trying to find some type of common ground and just listen and just, you know, pour into them.
What's the most common ground you find to be the most common?
Just allowing them to kind of like vent and give them like a different perspective on like counseling or just receiving help, because a lot of times people don't like to ask for help. Like me myself, it took me a while to just ask people for help, and it's like knowing that it's okay and that you have like that support. So it's just like an extra person to kind of give you that extra support that you need or didn't even think that you needed. And it's just like, oh, okay. So I honestly think that sometimes, well, most of the time, it depends on the person that's giving the help out. So in this case, like the therapist. So depending on the type of person that you are, if you're very warm and bubbly and welcoming, most of the times, you know, you may have a reluctant client, but then they may realize like, oh, wow, it's not bad after all. She's not bad. She made it, you know, worth it or enjoyable. So
now, do you think you being a person of color while servicing Black and Brown and Indigenous people, do you think that helps the process move a little smoother?
I would definitely say yes and no, because being like a person of color who has education, who, you know, presents very well, sometimes that can come off a little, you know, wrong to people. And then being so young, being a person of color and in this professional field, helping people who are at my age range or maybe a little older, it can be a little difficult. But I've learned that when you have confidence and, you know, you're good at what you do and you believe that, everything will work out how it's supposed to work out. And I try to like take color out of it, because it's like, you know, I am who I am. So regardless of what you look like, what I look like, if I'm here to give you a service and be very passionate in helping you on your journey, then everything is going to go how it's supposed to go.
Yeah, because honestly, we're all the same. We come in different shapes, sizes, and colors.
Exactly.
Definitely. I like your perspective on that.
Thank you.
Who was your mentor?
I was actually thinking about that. Let me see. I would say that my teacher, a former teacher from high school, Mrs. Dickens, she is my mentor. I still talk to her to this day, near or far. Even when I'm feeling like down or up, I need advice, she's always there. She was a person who kind of inspired me to go into the field of nursing. And she was like right there when my grandmother passed, like helped me along the journey. And I would just say, even to this day, she pours into me. She gives me encouragement. She always inspires me to keep going and to always have me remember why I went into this field. Because again, like she's seen me like take care of my grandmother, come to school and still like get good grades, do a great job despite the circumstances and what was going on. So I would definitely say she is my mentor and she will forever be my mentor no matter like how far I go or where I go. I'm sorry, I got a little emotional. I'm so emotional.
No, that was beautiful. How touching. What has working with children taught you about life?
That children know a lot, and that as adults, we should listen to them and not count them out when they want to talk about things. Because I notice even being in the field now, it's just kids know a lot of things. And it's like as adults, I feel like we don't give them enough attention when needed, especially, you know, for instance, grief or loss. How did that loss affect you? Even though they're kids, it affected them in some way, shape, or form. And just allowing them to be able to talk and just express themselves, it's taught me to just really listen to them and to give them that open space to communicate, because that also builds like different skills for them to have as they matriculate through life and allows it to be like easier as far as like trusting people around you or just, you know, being educated at an early age about different things. So children have taught me to just listen, to most importantly, to be patient and to always show kindness.
What is the typical issue a child comes to you with? Because you specialize in trauma, right? So
yeah,
what is the typical one you see on a day-to-day basis?
Well, from here, like being in urban grief now, I've worked with children, but not as many children as adults. When I was in the school system, like it was a school working with kids, so that was a little different. But a lot of them in the school system perspective, they came with like issues of just not feeling worthy enough and not feeling love and not like feeling like they're like fitting in. So just wanting, I guess, be like cool or just feel like people care. So I guess like a feeling of unworthiness, that was like a big one. And like now within urban grief, because we deal with trauma and kids who have like, you know, been affected by trauma, whether it was directly or indirectly, a lot of them shut down and they lose that sense of like trust of wanting to talk and express themselves. So at that moment, from a trauma standpoint and working with urban grief, it's about just listening to them and just reassuring them that you're just a person there to help them, you know?
Definitely. Now, do you think your time with children has given you patience?
I definitely think it has. And just having little cousins who look up to me, yes, I definitely say just having patience. And it has helped me not only just with children, but with adults as well. And in my own life, because sometimes we want things instantly when we want it. And it's just life doesn't work that way. So you got to be patient and it's going to come when it, you know, needs to come.
It's a race, but slow and steady.
Right, exactly. Slow and steady wins the race. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so I hear you won Social Worker of the Year Award. What was that like?
Oh, man. It was amazing. I was like shocked, but I like wasn't shocked, but just the, you know.
No, keep that energy. Keep that energy.
Right, just to feel like appreciated and to know all the hard work that I did. The job that I got that award at, I was there for 5 years. So I did my internship for undergrad there. I then ended up getting hired there as working as like a teaching assistant. And I ended up going to grad school and was still there. So my children that I, you know, ended up being a therapist to, they seen me matriculate from being nothing into something. And they watched me like, oh my God, you're going to be my therapist now? Like, yeah. So it was definitely amazing. And all the great things that my coworkers had to say about me was, that was just, oh my God, it was just so warming. And it just felt really good, especially just graduating in 2017 and receiving that award the year after. So I was only a social worker for a year, literally coming out of grad school. And I was like, wow, this is amazing.
But you worked hard for that.
Yeah, I did.
How can the public get in contact with you?
So I'm going to give both my work information and then I'm going to give like my personal information just in case, you know, that one person wants to reach out in that professional way. So you can find me at Urban Grief on Facebook at Urban Grief, as well as on Twitter and Instagram at Urban Grief. My work email is c.whitaker, WHITAKER, at T as in Tom, A as in Apple, dash C as in Charisma, R as in Robert.org. And my social media platform, you can find me on Instagram at RizzyW, at RIZZYW.
Okay, folks. Well, you just heard from Miss Charisma Whittaker. She's a social worker who has been working in the healthcare and the human service field for 8 years and will continue to service our community and make differences out here, because that's what we do. We got to make sure people who look like us and people who don't look like us still feel welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Erica. I appreciate it.
Thank you.